One of the most common wards where HAIs occur is the intensive care unit, where doctors treat serious disease, obviously, because there you have lots of organisms floating and immunity less. So, more organisms, less immunity of the patients, more chances. About 1 in 10 people admitted to hospital will contract an hospital-acquired infection. They are also associated with significant morbidity, mortality and hospital costs. Obviously, because you are, the more you are on that hospital bed, you are bound to pay charges. As medical care becomes complex and antibiotic resistance increases, the cases of hospital-acquired infection will grow. What are the symptoms for a hospital-acquired infection? Infection must occur up to 48 hours after the hospital admission, up to 3 days after the discharge. So, the hospital-acquired infection is continuous even after 3 days discharge, up to 30 days in an operation, because after the operation, the patient is going to be admitted for post-operative care. So, 30 days he is having that infection. In healthcare facility, when someone was admitted for reasons other than the infection, that means it is a hospital-acquired infection. Symptoms of HAIs will vary by the type, obviously. Okay, now let us understand which are common hospital-based infections or hospital-acquired infections. Urinary tract infection 40%, respiratory tract infection 15 to 20%, wound and soft tissue infections 18%, gastrointestinal infections, genital infections and neonatal infections. See, these are very important. I can tell you why these are important. See, if you see the urinary tract, respiratory tract and wound soft tissue infections, these are open orifices on the human body. Urinary tract is the through the urinary tract of male and female. These are, you know, open to air, like a penis or vagina, right? They are open to air. So, they are open for microorganisms, hospital-based microorganisms to come. Respiratory tract, typically what happens is people in the ICU, they are having all these, you know, tracheostomy and, you know, intubations and all those, you know, all those tubes inside the throat and, you know, artificial ventilators. So, this can actually give rise to hospital-acquired infections. Wound and soft tissue, obviously, because every time bandaging, open the bandage, microorganisms go inside, which are present in the hospital, hospital-acquired. Gastrointestinal, because a lot of procedures are there. Genital infection, again, the same thing. Urogenital tract is same. So, urinary tract and genital infections are same. Neonatal infections, children or neonates, you know, less than 1 year, have maximum chances of hospital-acquired infection because their immunity is very less. What are the sources of hospital-acquired infections? The patient's own flora, that is a self-infection. The flora of another patient, cross-infection. Environmental sources. So, the self-infection, cross-infection and environmental sources, three basic sources of hospital-acquired infection. High-risk areas. What are the high-risk areas in hospital-acquired infections? ICU, operation theater, post-operative wards, renal dialysis or kidney dialysis unit, burn unit, nurseries, like for the small children, pediatric patients, ward relating to older people, geriatric ward. See, nurseries are for pediatric patient and geriatric, that is the old people, their immunity, the last end of the age, you know, first and the last. So, their immunity is less and that is why they are having high risk areas. All those departments and especially ICU, operation theater, all the, you know, very, very less immunity in the patient is there. Renal dialysis, kidney is dialyzing, so the patient immunity is less. Burn unit, half of, means more than 50 to 90% is burnt, so skin is burnt, so obviously you are exposed to the, you know, immunity is gone and the skin is exposed to atmosphere, microorganisms. What are the contributing factors of hospital-acquired infections? Let us see those contributing factors. Lack of natural ventilation, sunlight, faulty design of hospital building, Yes, see, ventilation for a hospital to be a proper, you have to have good ventilation, good sunlight, and you know, a wrong hospital design can also be problematic. Overcrowding of patients. Yes, in a fit of admitting patients, some hospitals go overcrowded. That's another problem. Inadequate nursing care. No? Yeah, absolutely. Because the less nursing, the more problems. Lack of asepsis, that is, presence of bacteria, virus, and microorganism. So, aseptic precautions are not taken to prevent the bacteria, virus, and microorganisms. Cleaning is not done properly. Use of disinfectants is not done. So, lot of things are contributing for hospital acquired infections. Improper waste disposal. We have seen lot of biomedical waste and how they are to be disposed. If you are not taking care, this is the problem. Hospital acquired infection is a problem. Improper laundry services. Lack of good administration. Lack of resources. No antibiotic policy. Inappropriate, indiscriminate use of antibiotics. Use of wrong antibiotics. Duration of the use of antibiotics. So, all these things. If there is no policy of antibiotics, we don't know which antibiotics are resistant, which are not resistant. This problem is going to occur. Hospital acquired infections are going to occur. Predisposing factors. Hospital drug resistant pathogens like bacteria, virus, microorganism. So one of the important organisms is Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is a drug resistant pathogen in hospitals. Poor hygiene. If the hospital has poor hygiene, obviously. Implanted prosthesis like foreign body, artificial parts such as limb. So, all these things, they are generating problems, predisposing factors. Faulty instrumentation and surgery. If you are doing wrong instrumentation, not maintaining any proper aseptic precautions and doing wrong surgeries, that is another hospital acquired infection is there. Malignancy, cancer, because again, patient is having a lot of reduced immunity. Burns, same thing. Organ transplant, same thing. Extremes of age, yes. This is the same thing which we were discussing, that extremes of age, cancer, burns, malignancy, all are reduced immunity. Organization of infection control program. So, now we are focusing on infection control program. So, first we have to establish infection control committee. Provide resources for effective infection control. Prepare infection control manual. Typically, all these lines are on the same lines of your quality manual. If you are developing some program, infection control, prepare all these things. You have to organize, you have to involve people, you have to write SOPs, policies, manual. Prevention of hospital acquired infection. Education of medical, nursing and paramedical staff regarding basic concept of hospital acquired infection. That is very, very important. You have to educate, you have to train your people. Proper sterilization and disinfection practices, yes. Proper hygienic practices. Aseptic and antiseptic procedures on operation theaters, wards, kitchen, everywhere. Early detection, isolation and treatment of infected cases. Once you find out that a case is infected, immediately start quarantining them and treating them. Avoidance of overcrowding of patients and mingling with of susceptible and spreaders in the ward. Strict pass system to be implemented. You have to be very strict. Visitors are two, or time of visitors, etc. Special attention to disposal of biomedical waste. Different types, different methods. Use of disposables. Use and throw. provision of sterile instruments, dressings, surgical drapes, special protection to highly susceptible patients, hand washing and antisepsis, use of personal protective equipment, prevention of needle sticks injuries, management of biomedical waste, isolate the patient in a room with negative monitored airflow. People attending patient should wear N95 mask. Keep at least 1.2 meters distance between two beds. Don't compress the beds. Don't overutilize the space. Keep some distance. Minimize movement of patient, because more movement, more problems. More contact, more disease. Minimize transportation of the patients. That is also one of the important parts. What are the controlling measures of hospital acquired infections? Nursing unit report daily, weekly. Individual patient report. Review of bacteriological surgical records. Autopsy records. Autopsies after death, whatever the procedure happens, why it is dead, examination of the organs, etc. Periodic meetings. Distinguish between hospital acquired infections and infections acquired outside the hospital. To lay down standards of aseptic procedures. Guidelines for admission of patients, nursing and treatment. Surveillance of sterilization and disinfection practices. These are all the controlling measures. We have to use all these measures to control or prevent hospital acquired infection. Patient care, that is patient staff relationship. A patient should be treated as a guest, Atithi Devo Bhava. He should get the best from the healthcare organization. Atithi Devo Bhava should be the way to treat him. All the functions of hospital management have to be patient centered. Care of the patient, give satisfaction to the patients and their relatives. Patient care is important as patient cure. It helps to build reputation of the hospital about its quality. Satisfied patients become brand ambassadors of the hospital. Absolutely. They will go and talk volumes about your hospital. Humanistic approach of the staff is essential while dealing with patients and their relatives. Because when they come to the hospital, they are having fear, tension, worries about their dear ones, financial constraints, anxiety, whether they will return home in good health, with full productivity or not. And so many negative thoughts are there. So, humanistic approach is very important. The doctor or the nurse should tell him, your health will be absolutely okay. I am there and so you need not worry. You will go home hale and hearty. Doctor and nurse should give undivided attention to the patient. What are clinical or operational issues? Wrong patient, wrong site of the surgery. Patient falls. Misidentification of the patient. Medication errors, improper pain management for those needing long-term care, lack of communication, especially during shift changes, radiation safety in hospitals is not up to the mark. All these are clinical and operational issues. What are patient safety issues? Facilities are open for 24/7. Hence, following are the patient safety issues. Visitors are under great stress. Patient life and survival is at stake, especially visitors from patients having heart attack, trauma. All these people are very afraid. Violence. Doctor becomes soft target. We are now hearing things where the hospital is burned down, doctors are stabbed. So violence, yes. During the night shift, 80% of the staff is sleeping. That is a fact. Nobody likes to go do the night 100% awake. No. And most of the people, they are sleeping. Infant abductions can occur. These are all the safety issues. Patient wandering, going out for tea and snacks, spreading infection, affecting it. So there is no monitoring of these patients. They can go roam everywhere and then they spread infection. Theft, pilferage of the drugs and other material, that also happens. Because see, all these things happen because these are the safety issues that can crop up. Healthcare quality professional should observe some code of ethics. This is very, very important. Practice the profession with honesty, integrity and accountability. See, you are as a doctor or you are a healthcare professional, you are always accountable. If you are honest and integrity is there, there will be no problem. Maintain the level of competencies outlined in the standards of practice for healthcare quality professionals. You have your quality policy, maintain the standard as per mentioned. Seek the trust and confidence of all the customers. Support the standards of practice for healthcare quality professionals. So these are the ethics that we have to follow for all individuals and protect the maintenance of confidential information. Don't give the confidential information of a patient to another patient or another relative or anybody else without the consent of the patient. Promote cultural change that encourages reporting of events that may result into actual or potential harm to the patient or other. If you feel that there is a harm to some patient, then it is always a good practice to report all these incidents, because the hospital is aware and other people are also aware. Use expertise to inform employees or clients of possible positive and negative outcomes of management decisions in an effort to facilitate informed decision making. Always you have to provide the information to the patient so that he must be aware, his near and dear must be aware what is his status so that he can take an informed decision. Give credit for the work of others to whom it is due. You may have in a surgery, you may have been helped by some surgeon. Give him the credit. Aid the professional development and advancement of the colleagues. Maintain membership in professional organizations as a means of promoting quality and professional growth, and avoid the use of such membership for the sole purpose of solicitation of business or personal financial gain. See, unless you promote quality and professional growth in the organizational meetings and maintain the membership, then only it will be useful. Don't only limit that membership for business purposes. That is code of ethics. Maintain active personal and professional development programs in the field of healthcare quality and exhibits a broad range of knowledge. Create and support an environment that fosters teamwork, emphasizes quality and recognizes the customer and promotes learning. Maintain a commitment to the improvement of the professional through participation in and active support of the local, state and national professional organizations. So this is how you have to maintain the professional development programs. You have to maintain a commitment address concerns and take formal actions to resolve or report unethical, always report unethical problems, unethical questions or practices to the appropriate channel. Adhere to the code of ethics for healthcare quality professionals. Code of ethics are very, very important, and if you or if all the people adhere to this, I am 100% sure that total quality management would be the chosen path. Other factors about ethics. Quality of care differs by economic class or ability to pay system. Low quality of care for poor, it should not happen. See, the problem what happens is poor people cannot pay, but that does not mean that it should not be given treatment. Patients needing long-term care are often neglected. Quality time should be given to these patients as well. This is what is medical ethics. High degree of turnover and job dissatisfaction. Turnover means leaving the job. Professional staff, they take away the goodwill also. See, if you are not maintaining your internal stakeholders like your staff members, they will leave one day and they will take the goodwill with them. One of the reasons is that efficient people are normally overloaded. They are not happy in the prevailing conditions. If quality in the hospital is required, then patient satisfaction is the motto. Employees also must be well and taken care of. Obviously, because a good employee will always be busy. So you have to help him out. Take the help of technology, take the help of some other processes, develop some processes which can help them. Regulatory standards, non-compliance leads to disruption. Now this is one of the very, very important parts, because if there is a non-compliance from regulatory standards, lot of problems occur. Poor quality of care, safety issues, substantial fines and bad name. Meeting legal and ethical standards is a must. Meeting energy standards is a must. Use for solar power. Practicing rainwater harvesting and need to implement a sustainability strategy. See, from a regulatory standpoint, all the things should be also followed. Ethics wise, we have already seen. These are making the use of environment, like meeting of energy standards by using solar power, rain harvesting. We are cost cutting in one way. Thank you.